Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing great, Jim. How are you, sir?
I am good. You got yourself off the road. Had a nice trip last week. I saw pictures from Busch Stadium in St. Louis watching a baseball game. That's very cool.
We did. We had a. It was my combat veterans units. Our troop gets together annually. This was our third year getting together, and we get together in St. Louis because we come from all over the country. And this year, the Cardinals happened to be home. So we thought Sunday afternoon after our reunion, some people leave Sunday evening, some people leave on Monday. We thought, anybody want to go to a baseball game? So 13 of us went to a baseball game on Sunday.
That's fantastic. A lot of fun. Once more, Andrew, thank you for your service and to your group. I know that's a tough gig. We're glad you're here with us. So, anyway, let's get started with our show. Andy, you and I talked about this a little bit. What we were going to do today is take a little bit of a walk through this year's upcoming schedule. And I don't want this to be, oh, this game, here's my prediction. But let's talk about the elements of the games. And a thing overriding all of this, Andy, with the schedule, which I think is a little different this year than other years, specifically in the Big Ten, well, also the Southeast Conference, you saw it. Some games had always been locked in. For years, we had always been locked in. Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Rutgers, Maryland, you know, the East Division. Now, that gets changed up a bit. So that alone is going to change the strength of schedule. Even within the same conference, you could have two teams with very, very different schedules.
Yeah, polarizingly different schedules, right? It just seems Iowa catches the breaks. They've got a pretty fair walk through it. But I think Penn State in 2024, not to have Michigan and Ohio State in their schedule, I just think for Penn State, that's the best first step in this newest, latest new era of college football. How's that for, you know, the two power conferences, which is where we're headed? I think that's perfect for Penn State this year.
Yes, I think Penn State does pretty well, but taking, you know, a deep dive into the Big Ten schedule and who has who, I think the way I differentiated within the season, I think there are four teams that separate themselves in the Big Ten from the rest. Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State.
Boom. Those are your top four.
So how many games do you have against those teams, I think, determines a very much the strength of your schedule. Iowa, for example, only has one of them, Ohio State. The rest of their schedule is very manageable. I have a good friend who's a Rutgers fan. Rutgers doesn't get any of the four.
None of them.
So, and then within the four itself, it's interesting. Penn State has only one of the other three. Ohio State has all three, Andy.
Yep.
They have Michigan. They have Penn State. They have Oregon. Now, that's the luck of the draw, but Ohio State, who many people think is the most talented team in the country, if they go unbeaten through this schedule, they've really earned it.
Yeah, they're a national title contender to begin with. They navigate this schedule and head into the college football playoffs with one of those top seeds and a bye. I don't care what Georgia's doing. They're the favorite. They have to be. I think they're going to play a better competitive schedule than any of the preseason top five teams in the country. So they're going to earn it. It's like, it's a perfect marriage for me. They have more talent than probably anybody, more than most. Georgia's, a great program too, and they have a ton of talent, but I think Ohio State has more. They have Chip Kelly as a new OC. It's time. So why not get a full test on your schedule to see if you're ready? I'm excited for this, to see how this plays out from the Ohio State perspective, because it's a tough schedule.
Among the elite teams, they probably have the toughest schedule. Georgia, who is probably the co-favorite in the country, having comparable talent, does not have that kind of schedule, although they do get Alabama this year during the regular season. All right, so let's turn to Penn State's schedule specifically, Andy. And the season starts on August 31st on the road at West Virginia, and it's a noon game. What are your thoughts there right off the bat, starting with a West Virginia team with three new coordinators?
Yeah, I think the coordinator thing might be a little overrated for Penn State going into this game, but I mean, I think it's one of Penn State's three toughest games. That's it. It's not, it could be in Happy Valley, and I would still say the same thing about this matchup. I think West Virginia has, while they lost some players, has a lot of meat on the bone. They have some, you know, really key players back at the right spots. They won 9 games last year. They're one of those fringy top 25 teams. I feel there might be like a bandwagon team. Like, they might be able to do some damage. It's going to find out right out of the gate against Penn State. I thought last year West Virginia would provide a little bit more competition for Penn State. They didn't, because as it turns out, we didn't know this at the time, I think that was the most complete game Penn State played all year, right? Balance-wise, was the West Virginia game. Offense, defense, both contributing at an equal level. It was like they had you coming and going. So there's a lot of questions to be answered by this Penn State offense. I think, you know, West Virginia's coming off a 9-win season at or near the top. They lost their star center. He was an anchor for them. They lost both the corners from a defense that was good but not great. That's going to be a factor as well. Remember that when we go into this. Now, they got 2 guys out of the transfer portal, but remember, Penn State might be able to pick on this team offensively through the air. So I think this is a really tough game. It's a noon kickoff, so it's going to be a blasted game, right? It's going to be the big game. I think it's a really, really brutal opener for Penn State with 3 new coordinators, like you said, Jimmy. It's a brutal game to start with.
It is. I think the one break they get, I think it's better that it's at noon on the road rather than night in West Virginia.
Might be right.
Would be a very, very rowdy crowd. They would be pumped and ready for that. I have a level of concern about this game too, Andy. Let's put a number on it. Scale of 1 to 5. Degree of difficulty for this one.
Yeah, I give this one a 3.5. I think there are matchups that favor Penn State, but I don't think they will necessarily have as big advantage talent-wise overall as they did in this game last year. And in other words, I think the talent might be a little bit closer. It still favors Penn State. Come on. It's still going to favor Penn State. But when Penn State has those games where the talent level's kind of a little more balanced, they're a little squeaky.
Penn State is still a significant favorite in this game. But West Virginia, they have a quarterback that they have confidence in. He's a mobile quarterback. That always adds an extra element. If you're looking for an upset, a guy who could create turn nothing into something in a broken play, that would concern me. All right, Andy, following week, September 7th, also a noon game. And by the way, I don't think they're going to select this one for the whiteout. This one's against Bowling Green. First of all, first question on Bowling Green. Do you know what the team nickname is for Bowling Green?
Screaming Eagles?
No.
I know the color scheme. Oh, I should know this, Jimmy. You're killing me, Smalls. I don't know it.
Okay.
I should.
We're going to let our listeners think about it a little bit before I give you the answer. So opener, Bowling Green. What's the significance of this game, Andy?
They might, you know, how Penn State looks at this game and this game is approached will, in my mind, depends on the result at West Virginia, right? Right. Is Penn State coming off a loss and is there a bigger sense of urgency and what do they have to fix and how are they going to fix it? They beat West Virginia. This then becomes a building block game, right? That's the way I look at it. I mean, Bowling Green will provide them a little bit of competition in spots. That's about it. They were a 500 team a year ago, but I don't see this game as anything more than based on the result of week one, what this game means in week two. Other than that, you know, I think Penn State's a heavy, 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 heavy favorite.
Yeah, they definitely are, Andy. And I'm not even sure if they lose week one, I don't even know if you could look at this game and say, oh, they have something to prove this week after losing. They could win this game 56-0, but if they had lost to West Virginia, that's irrelevant. To me, this is the game to get some of those true freshmen in. You remember, they have four games they could play in before burning a red shirt.
Good point. This
hopefully is the kind of game where you could get them some snaps. You hope that this is a game that you could get Bo Prabula in early enough, get some seat time behind center, you know, because you don't know if there can be a point where you need them more than that. So that's the opportunity. Maybe even throw Grunkmeyer in there for a series, Andy. We got to give a ranking on this. 1 to 5.
Falcons. It just came to me. Am I right?
Bowling Green Falcons. You spoiled it for our listeners.
Sorry. I had to defend myself. 0.5, Jimmy. 0.5 is my rating on this game.
That is about right. That's about what it should be. I'll throw this in there because I'm a gambling degenerate, Andy. Give me a point spread for the Bowling Green Falcons.
31.5.
31 and that all-important half. I think it could be even more. This is Andy Kotelnicki. He's going to want to run it up. He wants to demonstrate he's got his offense put together. That's the way it's going to be. The significance of this game is it's the home opener. The crowd will be good, even though it's the Bowling Green Falcons. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number one. We'll get the next portion of the schedule when we come back for quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're taking a look at the 2024 Penn State football schedule. Andy, we got through the first two games, West Virginia, Bowling Green. We both agree West Virginia could be a little bit dangerous, especially on the road. Then it's the Bowling Green Falcons for the home opener. Andy, after dealing with the powerhouse Falcons, comes a bye. It can't come at a better time after what I'm sure will be a physical, brutal game against the Falcons. You need, first of all, you need to rest after Bowling Green. Then, Andy, you need extra time to prepare for Kent State.
Yeah, this is a 0.0 rating game, Jimmy. That's all you got to say. It's a home game. I mean, the Golden Flashes are 1-11 last year. Penn State's coming off a bye. That's just it. Point. You want to talk about point spreads? You asked me about the Bowling Green one. This one could approach, you know, it could approach six touchdowns, Jimmy. I mean, five or six for sure. So, yeah, 0.0. Nothing
they,
to worry
they,
about.
They could name the score, correct?
Yeah, it's
And you beat, I noticed you beat me to the punch there. You threw out, they are the Golden Flashes. All right. Yes. That's September 21st, the home game. So at this point, Penn State has, the last couple of weeks, they went Bowling Green by Bowling, or Kent State, or I think we could also say it's by for them, those 3 weeks. They then begin their home schedule for the Big Ten, actually their Big Ten opener overall, and it is at home. So there's the surprise. September 28th, they play Illinois. As far as television, we've been told it'll either be a late afternoon or an evening game, which means there's talk that this could be the whiteout game. It's Illinois, Andy.
Yeah, it's also the third of four straight home games for Penn State, right? That's a difference maker for this program. The Illini defense, they gave Penn State fits last year as that game went on, right? But, and Brett Bielema's kind of, you know, builds his team where they, around defense, where they just do enough offensively or just find enough footing offensively to stay in games and be in games. They lost so many players on that side of the ball. He might be able to build something structurally that can sort of make it through it, but I don't think they're going to – I don't think Illinois is a team that's going to compete in the Big Ten this year. I just don't. I think they're one of the bottom feeders. You know, they give Penn State a tough game. Traditionally, in the last few years, they haven't been a walkover, but I don't think they're going to be built in any way, shape, or form, despite what Brett can – make some chicken salad out of chicken, you know what? They lost too much. They don't have enough offense. I just think it's going to be a tough year for them overall.
Scale of 1 to 5.
1.5. Only because I'm giving them a little dog in the fight. Just a little bit.
They seem to manage to make things difficult for Penn State the way they play. Give Brett Bielema credit for that. I think it's because of him, but he does not have the horses. All right. Following week, it's at least an interesting name, Andy. Yeah. UCLA. Penn State gets their first look at the Bruins as part of the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen 2023 UCLA versus 2023 Penn State. I would have loved to have seen that football game, right? I'm not sure about the 2024 version of UCLA. The 2024 version of Penn State has a lot more known about it. I mean, they lost their head coach. They had several players go to the NFL, key players in the draft. It's going to be a bumpy transition, right, from Chip Kelly leaving to Deshaun Foster. He does have Eric Bieniemy as his offensive coordinator. You know, let's see what, you know, see if he can put it together. But, I mean, they're going to have a quarterback that I don't know if he's ready for this conference. I don't see how they take a step forward. You know, they lost their top three players and their head coach. I just don't see them as being ready for Penn State right now at this level. They're just like Illinois to me. I gave them a 1.5 rating. It's at home for Penn State. I don't see the game as troublesome.
I don't either. There's so much change going on there. Yeah. I don't think UCLA, Chip Kelly had the name value, but never really had his heart in recruiting. I believe some folks thought that Chip Kelly in the Pac-12 conference, coming back after he had coached Oregon to so much success there, get him into UCLA, Southern California, just high-level recruiting there. None of that ever happened, Andy. And
I disagree with you. I think he built them into a difficult program to beat eventually. They were a hard team to beat the last 3 years. They were a very difficult team to beat. They weren't an elite team. You're correct on that front, 100%. They were a very difficult team to beat, and they were developing talent and sending them to the NFL. You're right. I think he just got tired of the modern college football game as a CEO head coach. But I think the bottom's falling out this year. I really do. What he was doing by sort of mixing and matching, I think it's going to go away. And there was a little bit of magic dust being sprinkled on that program.
I agree with you, Andy. I think they will be struggling this year.
Yeah.
Okay. This now, next game begins the four game. This is where the Penn State schedule is. It's the make or break section. Just to go through it real quick, it's U.S. at USC, at Wisconsin, home with Ohio State, home with Washington. And so this streak starts with USC on the road, which means you're traveling to the West Coast.
Right.
That creates some concerns if you're a Penn State fan. Two big names. USC, though, lost, what, five games last year with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and the number one pick in the draft, Andy, and they still lost five games. But it's still USC. I'm really curious what your take is on that. This team.
Yeah, they're so. If I was to look at it, I'd say they're still USC, right? Like that, and that is legitimate, Jimmy. And I think the same way. But that might be like fourth in my pecking order as the way I look at this USC team against Penn State. I mean, there's a certain level of expectation at the quarterback position with Lincoln Riley as your head coach. I'm not sure the guy they have is going to be able to do it. It's going to be pretty hard because Caleb Williams was really good. They're not going to have that. Dude, Jimmy, that defense was just truly awful last year. You don't fix that in an offseason. Not at that level. Like that level of truly, like almost borderline pathetic defensively overall. I mean, you could clean out your coaching staff and you can, you know, change what you're going to do, but your dudes are still your dudes. I mean, you have to consider that how abjectly bad that defense really was. I don't think USC is going to be a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. I don't. I don't think they're going to be a bad football team. As a previous game, UCLA, I think UCLA could be a bad football team. I don't think UCLA is going to be a bad football team at all. I just don't think they're a playoff team. They're a fringy top 25 preseason team right now. Yeah, Penn State has to travel to the West Coast, play in L.A. The USC, the tradition and the mystique has some merit to it. But still, at the end of the day, I see this as a 3.0 game. I see it below West Virginia. I really do.
And that's interesting. I do think some of the factors here for USC is it is USC, the mystique. Correct. I think Lincoln Riley as a coach – that the quarterback had a big bowl game where he played well. It's a Lincoln Riley offense, so that alone will be okay. And the defense, it was so bad that I think just a regression to the mean, Andy.
Correct.
With a new coordinator, you know, essentially I guess I'm saying it can't be as bad as last year, can it?
Right.
And – you know, I think that will be helpful. I think for USC, you know, playing some of these name brands from the USC point of view, getting a Penn State on their home turf, I think it could be a big game for them. If they could find a way to win it, it would be a huge win for them and their program. So I do have a fear level of this game. You know, again, like I said, Lincoln Riley offense, a defense that's got to be better. So we shall see on this one. All right, let's go to, again, the following week they get a bye. I think actually in all seriousness, this one is timed pretty well.
Very
because
well.
Then they have to go on the road to play Wisconsin. Not an easy place to play at Wisconsin. The fans could get really into it there, Andy. Year two of the Luke Fickell era at Wisconsin. I think that there's some expectation because it is Luke Fickell. What do you see for that game?
It's a sneaky game, Jimmy. Right now, preseason, it's a sneaky game. We'll learn more as we go along. Wisconsin has pieces on both sides of the ball. They didn't put it together in year one under Luke Fickell. It never really came together and meshed, right? Like in any way, shape, or form. I still think he's a very, very good football coach, by the way. I think Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback sort of closes a little bit of that not being able to put it together gap. They're looking for balance, right? They have some serious pieces on both sides of the ball. They can find that balance. I think they could be very dangerous. I think they are a sneaky, dangerous team, but they have to prove it, right? Like, I could see it, but I got to see it. You know what I mean? Like, I could see it coming from Wisconsin. I think they could be the same kind of team as Penn State, to be honest with you. But I've seen more of it from Penn State. I haven't seen hardly any of it from Wisconsin in the last few years. I need to see it, and I need to see it in more than one game. But this still is a potentially sneaky game. I gave it a 3.5 rating, Jimmy. I gave it the same as West Virginia. I think I gave it a higher rating than I think the USC, only because I think the potential there is for Wisconsin to have more balance. And that is a tough place to play.
I think this is a game, Andy, where you pointed out for Wisconsin, we'll find out more going into this game. But yeah. I think for both teams, we'll know about a confidence level going in. If this is an undefeated Penn State team with a lot at stake going into Wisconsin, I think it'll be a very confident Penn State team. If they're reeling a bit, look out. This is dangerous. All right, that is it for quarter two. Next up, quarter three, your questions, we ask Andy.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to Ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. You ready, Andy?
Oh, I am ready, Jimmy. Let's go.
Okay. Let's go. Tony from Philadelphia. We haven't heard from Tony for quite a while. He's talking about saving the whiteout game. Instead of Penn State fans complaining about the Ohio State-Michigan game being on a noon the last week of the season, by the way, I think Tony's referring to me.
Yes, I
talked about the Big Ten accommodates them. So that's me Tony's talking about. Why not use that to our advantage? Schedule the whiteout game for that same weekend. Even if it's a 3:30 slot in November State College, it'll be dark by halftime. It almost doesn't matter what Big Ten opponent you play. As with the playoff structure, this will be an important game. Penn State wants to be in the playoffs, and a whiteout in really cold weather just adds to mystique. What do you think? We only need to have Big Ten schedule Penn State a home game on the last weekend.
Man, a night game for on the last week of the season, Jimmy? Oof, that's tough, right?
I'm not sure if it works out that way this weekend, but it's always traditional. That last weekend is Thanksgiving weekend. The students are on break.
Yeah.
A lot of people skip the game because of the holiday.
And it's cold.
And the weather, yeah. I don't think the cold adds to the mystique. I think the cold, Andy, just makes it cold.
I kind of like the Washington game as a whiteout game for some reason, but that is a little later in the season. I understand why they're doing Illinois because a lot of the elements are in place for it to be. It's early in the season, you know. Penn State's most likely to be in a really good position at that point with who they're playing early on prior to the Illinois game. I get it. I'm a fan of Washington. I like bringing a newbie in and welcoming them to the jungle. Hey, this isn't the Pac-12. Welcome to the whiteout at Penn State, Huskies.
Let me address this quickly in a way. I've done it before, but addresses what Tony's talking about with – I keep saying the Big Ten accommodates Michigan and Ohio State. And that's fine. It's okay. It's a huge monster game last week of the season. Wonderful. Wonderful. The schedule makers, all I'm saying is they should do a little bit similar accommodation that the whiteout is such a national event. Give Penn State a decent home game in September or October. Doesn't have to be Ohio State. Like you mentioned, Washington. If they had put Washington in where Illinois is or sometime in October when it's still decent weather and you can play a night game, that's what they should have done with very little accommodation, Andy. It could have been done, and they didn't do it. And I don't – if it's Penn State – athletic director or whoever, they should have been pounding the desk for that, Andy.
You're not wrong as the Penn State fan. I see it. I respect it and get it. But you're only accommodating one school. In the Michigan and Ohio State scenario, you're accommodating two schools, and you always will.
So you're accommodating a single event, that one game.
Two schools, one school.
You're accommodating one event. Here you're actually accommodating, you know, a second school, Washington, Oregon, USC, whoever it would be for that setup. But the whiteout is such a big deal, Andy. And I'm speaking of that from the Big Ten Conference. This is an important game for the conference, and they ignore it. All right, let's move on. I took the final word on that one, Andy. I'm going to get it no matter what. Let's, again, another guy we haven't heard from in a while, our buddy Steve from Potomac. I'll try to get through his question quickly. It's a long one. Enjoyed your discussion, what's holding Penn State back from winning a national championship. curious to how you would distribute the percentages between the institution, meaning money, alignment, blah, 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 and the individual, meaning James Franklin. He puts most of the blame on James Franklin, not a surprise from Steve. You're all good at defending James for his off-field responsibilities. However, as fans, what we see is 10 years of poor performance from big game James. While I agree that Michigan will likely take a step back, that doesn't make me feel any better about Penn State's chances of winning a playoff game, even if they make it. My fear is Franklin fatigue is causing donors to question their return on investment and that Penn State will continue to fall further behind from national championship contention until a new coach comes in, ideally someone who could unify the fan base over how poorly Paterno was treated by the administration. A lot there to take in, Andy.
Oh, man. Yeah, Steve does not like him some James Franklin at all. He's not wrong in a little, in some way, not in a little way, but in some respects, he's not wrong, but I think his expectations and his measuring sticks are just out of whack. I'm just going to say it. They're out of whack. You can't measure yourself against Ohio State and Michigan all the time. And you have to look at, is the grass greener on the other side? It's a tough, tough road to find a head football coach in this transitional age of college football. I think Penn State's smarter and safer riding this a little bit. I agree. I think it's a 70-30 proposition because of the big games. I think James against more level talent playing field, Penn State has to be better in those games. They can win them. I don't know. Is winning the ultimate measure stick sometimes? But at least be freaking competitive, right? A little bit more competitive and give yourself a chance to steal one. I don't think they're necessarily on a level competitive playing field yet, and that is where the problem lies for me. Talent-wise, talent development, it's coming, but in big games, it disappears. So I put it out as a 70-30 proposition based on his numbers that he asked for.
And there's a lot to deal with here, a lot to unravel, and issues that Penn State is going to have to deal with. But so does every other school.
You're darn right.
Many of them, many schools are concerned about NIL. The vast majority of them of schools and their fan bases feel like they are falling behind in NIL. Ohio State, having failed to beat Michigan over the last couple of years, they are all in on this season.
One season.
Fans, the donors, they went all in with NIL to bring players in, to keep players there. Correct. And if you compare perhaps even every other school to Ohio State, they're going to fall short. What you've also had is some schools that on the surface appear to use NIL to a great advantage, like Texas A&M, like Miami. Guess what? It didn't get them anywhere.
Nope.
Donor fatigue is real everywhere across the country, not just at Penn State. What Steve brought up, though, is the added complication that Penn State has with the Paterno legacy. There are some people who are just such Joe Paterno supporters that they're closing up their pocketbook until they feel Joe Paterno was honored in the way they want him honored. The problem is, if you go that route, there's a price to be paid for that. Because there are some people who feel the other way also.
Correct.
They may not be as vocal, but they exist. So it's a tough, tough place to navigate. But the one thing I'll leave Steve with is he talked about, you know, that coach who could come in and unite everybody.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm
good
just
luck
not
finding that guy.
Good luck. And I know there'd be some names that'll be thrown out that will be Penn State people. I'll throw out the name Scott Frost. Was there ever a guy who was the more perfect hire than when he got to Nebraska?
Yep.
Oops. Yep. It didn't work out that way. All right, let's get another question in here. Brad from Perkasie says, Penn State led the conference in points per game last year at 36.2. I did not know that, Andy. Is that surprising to you? Well, it is for me. And Brad says it's surprising for him also. But against Michigan and Ohio State, we average 13.5 points per game. What does our scoring average need to be in top games in 24? And what are those top games? Well, him asking what are our top games, it's interesting. That's the topic we're hitting this week, Dandy.
Yeah. So I don't think it's – yeah. So here's the way I'll put it. They can't fall off a cliff against better competition, right? That's kind of what it's it definitely looked like that last year. They, when the talent level wasn't necessarily equal in coming from the opponent, Penn State had no problem dominating. But when it was remotely level, they fell off a cliff. Just don't fall off a cliff in those games. You can lose. I go back to what it, for me, what it is, it's not that you lose. It's how you lose, right? And why you lose. Look at the Ole Miss game last year, Jimmy. That's a loss, right? That game was in no way, shape, or form for many different reasons. It didn't even look remotely like the Michigan or Ohio State games in terms of how they lost and why they lost. They weren't competitive in the Ohio State and Michigan games. That's the bigger problem. That, to me, is what needs to be fixed. You can lose. You can lose the football game. That's all right. But be competitive and have your say. Have your shot. And I don't think they it's been too long in big games since I saw Penn State really taking a shot. Okay, the Michigan game 2 years ago. But that was smoke and mirrors. You just knew that. That was a mirage. So that's where I'll go, Jimmy.
Well, I'll tell you what, a couple of things, Andy. First of all, I don't even throw the Ole Miss into the discussion because Penn State didn't have really, that wasn't their team there. The other games, it wasn't just in the Michigan-Ohio State games where the Penn State offense struggled.
Nope.
But the defense was so dominant. If you go back to that Iowa game, I think Iowa went like, 10 possessions in a row without getting a first down.
Yep.
The defense just kept giving the ball back to Penn State's offense so quickly that even though Penn State scores 30 points, it was all about the defense.
Correct.
So I think you put it well, the offense has to show up for these games and be a factor. And they weren't even dominant in those other games. A lot of that was just the defense was so good. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number three. We're going to go back and finish looking at the schedule. We still have some interesting games to go for the Nittany Lions. We're going to do that when we get back for quarter number four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're looking at Penn State football and we're looking at the Penn State 2024 schedule. We got ourselves through 7 of the 12 games. We've got 5 left to go. The first two are the ones that really matter, Andy. And the first one, boy, this is the big one. November 2nd at home. Very good chance this will be Fox's big noon game. It's Ohio State at home. Big bad Ohio State Buckeyes. They're coming in with probably the best talent in the country, Andy.
Yep.
Is it going to be any different this year than it's been?
The expectation for me would be no. Plus, I thought that Penn State had the talent was they were on a more level playing field last year with Ohio State. I truly believe that. I still do. I don't, you know, the result of the game speaks for itself. But I still believe that Penn State was positioned better to play them. They're not going to have nearly the same talent levels this year, right? And there's one other factor in this game that kind of grabs it. It's the Chip Kelly factor, right? He returned to being a coordinator for a reason. He's a really, really good offensive football coach. So he's going to be Ohio State's offensive coordinator. For the perspective of Penn State fans, Chip Kelly to me is an offensive coach. He's like Manny Diaz as a coordinator, as a defensive coach. I said it as soon as they hired him. I'm like, Penn State fans, you're going to love this guy? He's so good at this. He was not a great head coach in Miami. But man, oh man, by goodness, is he is a brilliant genius as a defensive coach. I put Chip Kelly in the same class as an offensive coach, and he has more talent than anybody. This is not an expectation of a win game. At all. I don't think it is. I think it's a 5.0 rating game on our scale, Jimmy. They're not going to win this game. If they do, that would be completely against the trend, but they are not. They're going to be a heavy underdog in this game. I don't care what the schedule looks like. I know Ohio State's playing tougher games. And guess what? Ohio State will play tougher games already by then. So this one's a 5.0 for me, Jimmy. Tough game.
I'm with you at 5.0. Ohio State will have been tested prior to this, having to travel out to Oregon for that game.
Yep.
That might be the game. That and maybe Georgia, Alabama as the games of the year. And we'll find out a lot about Ohio State in that game. If there's a chink in the armor for Ohio State, it's and the quarterback. And they've got a lot of talent in the room.
Yep. I know.
But it's not an established guy at Ohio State that they have returning. And if the starter fails, they have more options. I get that. They have a lot of shots at it. That's what's going to make that game interesting. Next up, following week, it's home again. It's against Washington. I have no idea what to expect here. Yeah, Andy.
No, not at all. I mean, they lost almost everybody from the national championship game roster, and they lost their head coach, right? You know, I think their new coach, he's trying to just get them prepared to compete, but I just don't see this, you know, for this much of a rebuild. Like, I just don't see them striking fear in any opponents. They struck fear. They lost so much, plus their coach. I like the new guy they hired. Maybe I give him a 2.5. I'd love to see this as a whiteout game. Welcome to the Big Ten. But you're going to have to watch Washington to know because I don't think it's going to be all that much. I don't think it's quite the level some of the other bottom feeders, speaking of which, foreshadow coming up. Big Ten bottom feeders are coming up next for Penn State. But I think Penn State's going to have more talent, and that's that's just going to be a big difference maker when it comes to this. Obviously, it would have been a great game last year. Again.
Well, they were a great team last year.
Great.
And perhaps the three biggest reasons, I did really like their coach. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
The wide receiver who was really good, a top 10 draft pick, really
three
good.
Three of them.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Michael Penix, I think, is even the bigger deal.
Yeah.
I loved Penix when he was at Indiana. Didn't love what he did to Penn State, but I love the talent there. You surround him with any talent at all like Washington had and a really good coach. You saw what Penix could do. They are all gone. You know, if the 2023 season had not happened, we would look at this Washington team very differently, Andy. They were special last year. I'm not sure how much of that will remain. All right, let's get to, as you call them, the bottom feeders. The following week, they're at Purdue.
Road game, maybe. That's why I think Purdue could possibly be, to me, they're at the bottom of the Big Ten for me. They are. I mean, they might have a good quarterback, but he doesn't have anybody to throw to, and they don't have much on offense. They've got to – maybe they show something different early in the season, but for me, I just see Purdue at the bottom of the Big Ten in terms of, the, you know, the, what is it, 18 teams. It's a 1.0 game, and that's only because it's on the road.
I'm with you. That would at Penn State, it would be a 0.5, if that. All right. The following week, again, on the road, back-to-back right. weeks on the road. This time it's at Minnesota playing the fighting PJ Flex. What do you see there?
Yeah, I like PJ. I mean, the row of the boat thing drives me nuts, but I like what he's – I like him, and I think he can coach. I also think he might be on the hot seat, Jimmy, in 2024. He might end up on the hot seat. That's sort of where Minnesota – they struggled last year. They struggled big time last year. And the transfer quarterback they got, okay, they're optimistic about him, but he's coming from an FCS school, right? So will he be good enough early on to kind of maybe move them into the middle of the pack at least? I don't know. I just think there's a lot of elements in place. I start with them struggling last year. There's a lot of elements in place for Minnesota to be a bottom feeder and PJ Fleck to be on the hot seat. I'm 1.0 rating, road game again. That's the only reason. They have a lot of hills to climb before they can start looking at the mountain. And I think that starts at the quarterback position. When you're answering those, when you're asking those kinds of questions without any real answers at the quarterback position in a conference like the Big Ten, and you struggled the year before abjectly on both sides of the ball to be even competitive through a 60-minute game, that's a lot of turf to navigate.
I'm with you, and I'm a PJ Fleck fan. Yeah, I'm tired of row the boat also, but what's interesting to me is PJ Fleck, he's one of the coaches who has talked openly about NIL and how Minnesota has to do better.
Correct.
That is an example of where schools at Minnesota's level, they are going to struggle with the NIL, because NIL is just another facet of college football where they're not competitive. They can't be competitive. They have enough to overcome against the Ohio States and Oregons and USC's and Penn State's and Michigan's to not add another piece to the puzzle, which is NIL. So, again, just like most schools, he's out there saying, we are not doing enough with NIL to compete. And I think the Minnesota fans are reacting the way fans are throughout the country. You're already charging me for tickets and everything else. Now you're saying it's my fault that you're losing? Come on. And the thing is, at Minnesota, my question would be, be careful what you wish for. If you get rid of PJ Fleck, where do you go from there?
Right.
I don't see an out here for Minnesota. All right, final game then, at home against Maryland.
Yeah, Penn State's feasting on Maryland, right? It just seems that's the way it goes. They just gobsmack this team no matter what Maryland's got cooking. It just seems like Penn State takes them out behind a woodshed for some reason. And now Maryland, while I like elements of Maryland, I think they're stronger in the trenches, and I think they're better defensively than they've ever been under Mike Locksley. The only problem is at what has sort of helped and carried them, the running back position, the quarterback position, a.k.a. Talia. Talia Tagovailoa. And the wide receiver position, they're all gone, right? Like, they lost their marquee skill guys, including their quarterback. So I think they could be a difficult team to beat week to week. I don't know if they're going to have enough firepower. They're still looking for a quarterback, Jimmy. They spent all spring rotating 3-4 guys. They're looking for a quarterback. They are hunting for a quarterback. And overall, with the combination of, you know, home game, their dominance of Maryland, it is the end of the year. It's going to look a lot different after 11 games than it does when we're sitting here in June talking about it. I gave it a 2.0 rating only because I just think they're going to be a difficult team to beat. That doesn't mean I don't think they're going to lose a good number of games. They could, because their offense is they've got to find something to help them offensively.
Andy, I always thought the quarterback, Talia, gave them, you know, a puncher's chance.
He did.
Against anybody. With him gone, I think they lose that opportunity. Think Michigan State, last game of the year last year. Michigan State had one foot on the bus, you know, for that whole game. That could be the same thing for Maryland here, trying to play on the road. If their season is already lost, Andy, it could get ugly.
I just, one other thing, since we've done all 12 games now, I wanted to give you a little fun. Did you know that Penn State, not only do they not play Michigan and Oregon, two of the top four teams, along with Penn State in the Big Ten, they only play, as their schedule sits right now, two teams ranked in the preseason top 25. West Virginia's fringy, Wisconsin's fringy. USC hanging at 25 and fringy. Really, the only lock that they play that I can see as a top 25 preseason is Ohio State. I mean, Washington, UCLA were all fringy and obviously, you know, highly ranked last year. Not. It's a favorable schedule, Jimmy.
It is, Andy. And there's going to be heck to pay if they don't make the playoffs this year. Andy, that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.